Well, let's turn to Psalm 19. It's an old favorite. Is anything going on with anybody? Everybody cool? Everybody warm? That's a good
point. How are you feeling? Fuzzy. I just love everybody.
Everybody loves me. Turn around and say, I love you to the person next to you. It says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. This is part of the idea of the gospel that's been preached to everyone. Anyone who is an observer of life, an observer of the way things are, has to see life and death and glory in God's creation. It has to be this way because there's not people out running around and reached every native and told him about Jesus. So the gospel is in all of life. The way of God is seen everywhere, and the only thing that keeps you from seeing it is your hard hearts, or the scales on your eyes haven't been removed, or you're so busy in your self-seeking that you wouldn't see the gospel if it hit you over the head. But if this is true, if the heavens declare the glory of God, and the earth, the firmament shows his handiwork, there's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. It passes through all of time and space, and God has made himself known. That's the beauty of having your heart circumcised and your eyes being opened, so that all of your life is an expression or an observance of God and his plan, his life. And that's an inheritance of a believer. We studied the other night about to not be of most men, of all men, most miserable, those who don't believe in the resurrection, who don't believe in the power of God. They have only this life to live, and there's nothing that follows it. Well, that's not a believer. And what we have come to know is that burden of belief is not on you. Your ability to believe has to be seen for what it is. It's totally incapable of traversing the great gap. You aren't good enough. You've been measured and found wanting. And that's good news, because there's nobody in here who has the faith that's required to be right before God. Well, then what do? We thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, who has resurrected himself in us by God, and it's now by his faith alone that we live and perceive and walk and believe. And every time you find yourself in a quandary of your own making to be able to believe or to get through a situation, it's because you're trying to do it on your own strength. And you're not made that way. God designed it so that you couldn't make it on your own strength, because he has provided the way, and he wants you to know that way. And by giving over to God, you don't lose anything. That's what I know the old man thinks, this old man thought it a long time. I always thought Jesus was a good idea, and someday I'd check him out. But because I figured knowing him or believing in him or whatever the words are would cost me. My life would be lessened, not increased, if I believed in Christ, because I didn't understand. I just thought it was rules and regulations and don'ts. That is first grade or kindergarten, actually, thinking. My life has been expanded hundreds of times because God himself caused me to become a believer. It wasn't something I was able to do. So in your life, let the scales from your eyes be removed and see Christ, see God's handiwork in all things.
There's another meaning. Well, actually, it's not another meaning. It's the same meaning, but said in a different way. This is referring to the original meaning of the zodiac. The fact that there's 12 signs of the zodiac and all the decans, all 48 signs are absolutely, the original meaning is absolutely pertains to the gospel.
Amen. It
absolutely tells of the conception, the birth, the life, the death, and the resurrection.
Right.
And what's going on in every man's life. And it's there.
Yeah.
And it's there. It was there at one time in all cultures.
Mm-hmm.
And that is available to us. And it's another way of saying every night above you there's a giant sign.
Yeah.
And if you can ignore that.
Declaring the gospel.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's good.
And it was written before, you know, was put up there at the beginning of the creation.
Yeah.
It's like I tell you these things before they happen so you'll know they're of me.
Yeah.
There it is right there.
Yeah. That's amazing, isn't it?
It's amazing.
God placed the stars in the whole.
And that story is only valid from this viewpoint. You go someplace else and they don't look like that. It's amazing.
Mm.
Like that's 45 secret, tapes on that stuff.
That's secret banana stuff, isn't it?
It's fantastic.
Yeah. If anybody's interested, get some of those tapes and check that out, because that is a beautiful understanding that's huge. It's one of the witnesses. He's always talking about having five witnesses or three witnesses. That was one of the witnesses of the gospel.
Stuff about their line has gone out and day unto day uttereth speech and all. I mean, it's talking about what the stars are saying.
Mm-hmm. And there's no place where their voice is not heard.
Wow.
Yeah. That's good. This God we serve is so huge, we just can't even scratch the surface. You know, it just so amazes me. We meet all the time, we talk all the time, and yet it's the breadth and the width of his being is so, there's so much to it. We do the feast and we get a great understanding, and yet even that is small compared to him. But that's cool. Their line has gone out through all the earth, their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it. And there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Each one of these that we're reading here now, the law of the Lord is perfect and it converts the soul. Just the hearing of the law, just the hearing of it, converts the soul. You don't have to do anything but hear it. And when you hear, you see. When you see, you are. What did you do? You were sitting there and somebody read the law and your soul is converted. You are transformed from a heathen to one who can see. It's just, it's mystical. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. And the wisdom there just strikes me as to be simple is actually a better place in life. We many try and fill our lives with the wisdom of this world so that we can be looked upon favorably by our peers. And yet, that gain that you would seek is a loss to the simplicity which is in Christ. And that's more precious than all of the gold of this world.
Simplest, dumbest person can understand the gospel. It's not made for somebody that's smart. It's abandon yourself, pick up the cross, let go of yourself. He's going to live his life for
you. Any fool can do it. And what's cool about it too is that it's God, by His Holy Spirit, that causes whoever sees to see in the first place. You can take a wise man, a smart man, a dumb man, and you can fill a room with people and a few will hear and most won't. But those who do, it's by God's Spirit that He opens up His life and causes you, allows you to see. You know, intellect has nothing to do with it. Intellect is sometimes more of a hindrance than a help.
And you know, it always amuses me. I watch Holy's behavior, and there's a certain behavior pattern in people that He will suggest to them if they listen to the language tapes.
Yeah.
A series of tapes about what language is and how we use it and what goes on in here. And it's the really intelligent people who are very, very good at using the English language as a tap dance.
Right. Well, you can just smell it. You can just see it. You know that the more you're able to take the construct of the matrix, so to speak, of the communication devices of the world, and capture those skills and talents, how difficult it is to break through to get to your spirit, to get to your heart. Because you're too smart. You're too quick. You're able to twist and spin, and it's just.
Makes me think of Paul, which our whole record of Paul is post, you know, after his conversion.
Yeah.
But we know that before his conversion, he was into that.
Oh, he was the high and mighty.
It's harder to get to know.
But it took getting knocked off his horse, which is very symbolic.
What did he say? He was the Pharisee.
Pharisee of Pharisees, persecuted the church, killed Christians in the name of God. But Jesus, he met Jesus, knocked him off his horse, struck him dumb, blinded him. Yeah, that's what it was. He blinded him, you know, so that he could see. You know, who is blind but my servant? That's what we talked about the other day. Who is blind but my servant? You have to be blinded to, you know, your sight is the big one. You know, that's 90% of your life is looking around, see. You think what you see is real, but it's just passing vapors, you know. And yet, the mind takes it and locks it in as reality. And so, you have to be blinded to be able to see the truth. God's way. You cannot trust in your senses and be a believer.
The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Trent was thinking about that process.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about how the soul is who I am. It's what I think is right, what I think is important.
Yeah.
And I think what the law does is it reveals the futility of that effort.
Yeah.
And the conversion of the soul is not, it doesn't make my soul a better soul, it makes my soul an empty soul.
Gives you the ability to.
Because if I try to keep the law, if I believe, if I adopt that into my soul and make that my value system, I will fail.
Yeah.
I see who I really am. I'm off scouring.
Yeah. And when you see that.
Then the conversion of the soul is I become empty.
Yeah.
All the things I thought were important.
Right. What's interesting is the moment before you see that, you believe everything in your soul is good and usable and right, because it's the pillar that you have worked on all your life, developing and making notes on and constructing by your own hands. And then a moment of time to see that that's futile and worthless and not in the way of God. Letting it go then is not even a virtue. It's like going to the bathroom. It's something you just do. I like this where it says, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. You don't think of fear as being clean too often. But that there's a cleansing, because the fear of the Lord, again, removes all of the inappropriate fears. And then you're in sync, you're in your proper place as you fear God. As you're fearing men's faces and fearing the day and fearing your finances and fearing your relationships, if those are dirty fears in this context. But to fear God is clean and endures forever. It's the proper place. And it's not a cowering fear. It's righteous fear. It's fear of the one who can destroy your... what does it say? Don't fear the one who can destroy your body. Fear him who can destroy your soul or not restore your soul. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired, and then I've got a little note here. More to be desired is he than gold. Yea, than much fine gold, and sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. More to be desired is he than gold. We've said it so many times, and yet I enjoy saying it and hearing it again, how that your faith is, if it's tested, it's worth much more than fine gold. If your faith is not tested, it's not of any value whatsoever. Still faith, but a completely different item. And it's through our sufferings and our dealings in life in this community that faith has to be tested and tried and made perfect, and gives us patience and long-suffering. We have to go through all this stuff, and that's good. That's good. A lot of times we don't like that. I look at Scott and I think he doesn't like what he's been going through in the last few years. It's been difficult. But if the difficulty accrues to faith, it's more precious than fine gold. If the difficulty only accrues to Scott's misery, sorry to pick on you, Scott, but it's then it has no value whatsoever. So everything that each one of us go through, if we don't see it correctly, then we're miserable men with no concept of the preciousness of the suffering that God has so generously provided. You know, and he's provided it not for our hurt, but so that we would be perfected in him.
Just before you said that, I was thinking of Scott, because there's a table in the office that he made, and I was thinking of the parable of that table, the idea of Christ being a carpenter.
Uh-huh.
Because that table was some trees, and the trees became some wood, some totally unrelated, useless pieces of wood.
Yeah.
Which have been shaped and cut and sanded and glued and drilled and doweled and sanded and distressed and stained and tortured.
Yeah.
To be fit together to be of use.
To be of use.
You know, frequently I think of Moses and a walking stick, a staff. You know, the woods is full of sticks, but if you've ever had a walking stick, you know that you pick up a stick for some. There's one that's foreground out of the countless millions, and
right.
You take that thing and you peel it and sand it and rub it and shape it, and after about 30 years of that, it becomes a value. But the stick is being tortured.
Yeah.
It thinks.
Yeah. yet
but it's abuse.
But in the end, it's not only abuse, but it's beautiful.
Right. And you know what? Today doesn't. What goes on today isn't that important. Yeah. But at the end, to be of use, as opposed to just throwing away.
Yeah. And you think at the end of time, from God's perspective, he can only use those items, those people, those sticks that have been through the suffering, because those are the ones that are now valuable. The rest, what happens?
Throw them in the fire.
I know, that's what he says.
Throw them in the fire.
It's brutal. But it is brutal. The gospel is as brutal an item as there is. And if we try and make it sweet and nice, we're missing the point. Life is pain. Always like that in The Princess Bride. Life is pain. Anybody tries to tell you different,
it's
trying to sell you something. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. Heed the warning. A lot of times we get so jaded, warnings come and go and come and go, and we another warning. Don't not heed the warnings. When you hear, and heed. And in keeping of them, there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. I'm not sure if this means what I'm going to say, but a secret fault is one that you keep to yourself. You know, you want to get rid of a fault, confess it. Tell somebody. Open it up. There ain't no fault left. The fault is in the secrecy, in the hiding. The hiding will kill you. Hiding is the worst thing. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. What's a presumptuous sin? That's assuming you know something.
Yeah.
You have predetermined what the truth is, and that's what you're acting on.
Trying to take God's place.
Yeah, you presumptuous SOB. Yeah, and believing him. Yeah, and that makes you presumptuous, because now you know the truth. You don't need to hear anybody else. Mm-hmm. I got it, you know. And then you judge and speak to others from that position of presumption. Let them not have dominion over me. I mean, that it's that critical. Your presumption will have dominion over you. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. What's the great transgression? Self-seeking.
You.
Making yourself into something. Thinking that by your works, by the application of the gospel, that you in God's name will now become a better soul, a better this, a better that. It's a great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.
I was thinking there about secret sin and about when we burn leaven, mm-hmm. vows, and part of the finalization of that is leaven that's seen and not seen, vows that I know of and vows that I don't know of. The stuff that's in here, our ability to delude ourselves is unlimited.
Yeah.
We're filled with stuff that we aren't conscious
of. That's right.
It's there.
Yeah. And as Paul said, we die daily. I die all the day long. If it was required of Paul as a believer, it's required of us as believers. And that's not a bad thing. Because if you're not in a constant state of dying that Christ may live, then you're subject to the great transgression. Because anytime you're not in an abandonment, you're into collection. You're into making the old man over again. You're into resurrecting the beast and giving him power. And this is something that we used to say jokingly that the only thing we've learned to do in 20 years, 30 years, whatever we've been around, was to repent faster. That's about the only virtue there that you can claim, hopefully, is to not let this thing have any space and time, because once it gets a foothold, it's tough, because it can run with you. But the exhortation is to see quickly and to return to the rest. Don't let it grip you. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. That's your relationship with God right there. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. And walk with that. And as you hear the words of your mouth, there they are. If it is finished, comes out of your mouth, then you know it's acceptable. If the meditations of your heart, you'll know if those are acceptable to God. And if not, it's okay. If not, that's fine. Just repent. There's no guilt, there's no shame, there's no nothing, because the sacrifice has already been made. You don't need to do anything but say, there it is, and turn. It's not difficult. There's nothing hard about this. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. So you can return to his rest. That's our inheritance.
Kevin told me the other day, he said he needed to talk to Stuart, and Stuart goes, I know what it's about. And starts to confess. You know?
Yeah.
It's like the fear of the Lord makes you clean.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Oh, I know what it's about.
Yeah, I know my sin. Here it is.
I think the great conversion is saying it's not finished.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And spreading that.
And telling others, yeah, by your life.
The great commission versus the great.
Yeah. The great. I think about what we have here in this little room every morning is just amazing. Because this is more precious than what the world has to offer in all its glory, you know, because this speaks to the depth of our being and our hearts and the place where life really is. All this other stuff is kind of entertainment. You know, it has only to do with the outside. But we're reaching down into the soul. Well, Bill led us here, so I guess it's time to quit. No, you're right on time. Anything else? Take a big guy.